Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There was a time we described this as funky.
What? We did?
Don't you think?
What's the modern word for it then? You're quite good with social media.
Cool.
I mean, no, that's an old word. That would
is it?
Yeah. How are you feeling? Years ago, cool, yeah. No.
Groovy?
No. That's the 60s. You are showing your age.
Anyway, yeah, I quite like it.
You were saying hip.
My name is Richard Keys.
And I'm Andy Gray.
And this is Keys and Gray Pod. You can get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram at Keys and Gray. Spell it out, Keys, A-N-D, Gray, and that's with an A. Some still spell it with an E. Yeah. Keys and Gray Pod. Now, special program this week. We will be talking with Ramon Vega about the race for fourth a little bit later in the program. But our first guest is a fascinating individual.
Yes.
Restaurateur.
Yes.
Raconteur.
Yes.
Broadcaster.
Yes.
Man of many different parts.
Yes.
Sizable, all of them.
Oh, most of them.
Yes.
I've seen most of them. It's not a good sight, some of them, but they are large. Golfer?
Golfer, occasional golfer.
Occasional golfer.
Very good Tuesday, not so good Thursday.
Now, that's a bit like Sven-Göran Eriksson, I thought he was this week when it's... good first half, that's a good second. Our guest was very good on Tuesday,
yes.
Hopeless on Thursday.
But that's how we play golf.
Yes,
that's why we go back. We're never quite sure what comes next. There's only little Welsby here that can play properly.
Yeah.
And the rest of us are all scrambling or scratching most of the time.
True.
But we do play, and it's lovely to be able to do so at least twice a week. No, the aforementioned... very well known in the UK,
yes.
I like to think.
Oh,
not just for his sports broadcasting, but also because he is what I would describe as a showbiz star as well. He's mixed
would
it
you?
With the very best.
You think he's a lovey?
Oh, definitely.
Is he?
No, he is not,
right.
But he can play that.
Oh, can he?
That's
he can
probably
play that
why his
role.
Yes, that's probably why his restaurants are the success that they are.
Ah, right.
He knows tits and teeth.
Really?
Yeah, that's well, look at him. You can see he does.
He's got a fine set of both. He's got a fine set of both from where I'm sitting.
He has, I describe, Eamon Holmes has that beautiful Irish brogue, lovely broadcaster, isn't he? Our friend, I think, is in that category, but he speaks with a lovely Welsh drone, I was going to use. That's the wrong word.
No, it's not
the right
drone. It's not...
we could probably
Welsh broke.
Regurgitate that same word, couldn't we? Yeah.
It is. He would know Quatra Medioeth.
He would know Quatra Medioeth. He would know Borida.
Borida.
He is Welsh speaking.
Hedlu.
He's appeared many times on S4C. We've got to reveal. What? No, no, just...
No, no,
no, no, no, no, no. You just sit still for a minute.
Don't reveal anything. Known to us as Tidy.
Well, I don't know if that's racist anymore.
Do you think so?
Because he's Welsh, is it?
Well, which race is a bit tidy?
Well, because we're sort of enforcing stereotypes, aren't we?
No, we're not. He's the only Welshman I know that I call tidy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Good
and
morning.
By the way, no. And what I want.
Good morning, Richard.
No,
good morning, Andrew. I was just enjoying possibly the greatest, well, not possibly, most definitely the greatest intro I've ever had in my life. I then thought I'd assign you, Richard, as my agent, because that was sounding good too. And yes, you're right. I am a bit of a lovey. It was that panto with Danny LaRue and Britt Eklund. Once I completed that down at Theatre Royal in Plymouth back in 2001, I didn't need to do any more panto. That was the ultimate.
Did you stay in touch with Danny?
I did actually. Yeah, he was a wonderful person to work with. Mm-hmm. Some wonderful stories there. I mean, I'll never forget when we rehearsed in London. It was, you know, he was dressed in his blazer with his cravat and everything. Uh-huh. And then after the final rehearsal, he turned to me. I had many scenes with Danny, and he turned to me, grabbed my wrist, and he went, "Darling, this is the last time you'll see me as a man." And he was right. In Plymouth, when we got down there, as soon as we started rehearsals, and obviously when the show carried on for 6.5 weeks, he was always dressed in a corset with fake breasts. And that's how I saw him for the next 6.5 weeks.
And you didn't return to the stage?
Not after that. That was my last panto, yeah. I did two. I did the one year before at St Albans with Vicky Michelle.
Right.
Which was also wonderful. Wonderful experience. That was also Snow White and the Seven Smaller People.
Well done.
I'm guessing
very well done.
I'm guessing. Very well done, I'm guessing you didn't play one of the smaller people.
No, I did not play any. I was actually.
He generally played the beanstalk. Yeah.
I was a little trimmer those days and able to carry off the title of Prince. Andrew.
Oh,
yes,
I love
absolutely.
It.
Now we need to talk seriously about your life in Qatar. You've been here longer than Andy and I. Mm-hmm. 10 years.
10 years working for 14 years. Because between 2008 and... Well, you were out here in 2008 doing the Euros.
Yes.
Then I came out to do a Beijing Olympic project, mm-hmm, out of Qatar, and then carried on back and forth for 4 years.
I was going to say, were I your agent, I wouldn't be very successful because there would be no room in any of your days for any more work, would there? Really?
No.
Yeah, how many jobs?
Yes.
Well, you say you're right. You call me Tidy because it's a bit of a nickname, and it's not racist.
Follow Tidy on Instagram at Tidy68.
Yes, exactly. Tidy68. And you call me Tidy12JobsWilliams now.
Yes.
Which is about right.
Yeah.
But I've decided that's the way it's got to be. And this is a big year for us all. Anybody here in Qatar with the World Cup, I think it's, you know, a great opportunity to have fun and also make a good living.
You know, you're not wrong, because I once put that point to Eamon, the aforementioned Eamon Holmes, many years ago, 10 years ago, and I said to him, why do you do so much stuff? Why can't you just concentrate on one thing? And he went, because at some point they're going to shaft me, so I'm going to need options. And you know what? How right was he?
Why didn't you tell me that?
Well, exactly.
10 years ago.
That's why I asked the question. I was concentrating only on one job. And he, of course, was very flexible and continues to be so. Magnificent broadcaster. Mm, really good guy.
Yeah, good lad.
Really, really good guy. But I put you in that category, Tidy.
Yeah,
well, that's very kind.
Yes,
but you're definitely from a long line of... Well, a long line. You're from a short line, but nevertheless a line of broadcasters. It runs in the family.
It runs in the family. My father was a television executive, really, but was there right at the start of HTV in Wales, ITV Wales, if you like. But then it was called TWW. TWW was set up when they set up HTV. Then they needed a benefactor, and John Morgan, who was a wonderful journalist, he was very close friends with Richard Burton. And he asked Richard Burton, could he help act as a guarantor as they set up the new TV station? He said, of course, John. I'll write you a check for £1 million. Is that okay? And he never cashed it, but he had the check at home in a frame, a check for £1 million. That back in, you know, 63.
Well, I would have had to have inquired. Yeah, yes, you can write me a check for £1 million, but if I cash it.
Yeah. Well, I got it.
Otherwise, you might as well write me one for £5 million. Yeah. Be honest with you.
I think I'd have cashed it.
But good story.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. So, and then my father, television executive, and my mother, who comes to Qatar this week. Very excited about
that. Has she overcome all the various hurdles that are required to leap over before she arrives here?
She has at the moment, but she hasn't got to check in at Heathrow yet.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, we wish her well.
That's the last hurdle.
And I will say, you know, my mum said, oh, good, you know, there's lots of forms and things. And I said, well, that's why we're very lucky here in Qatar that not many people have COVID and not many people have died from COVID.
Yes, correct. We've been
and
very safe.
Do you know what? I'll go with that. Yeah. I'll go with the strict forms, and it's a little bit of a pain sometimes, but that's why we're able to... No, Mrs. Tidy Senior's been here before, but this is the first trip without Tidy Senior, Mr. Tidy Senior.
Yeah, of course. It's a shame,
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, and my sister's involved in broadcasting as well, and, yeah, that's it.
Was it always your bag to be a broadcaster?
No, I did a sports science degree, and I was you know, really? Mr. Tracksuit.
Didn't learn much, did you?
Yeah, I didn't spend enough time in the gym.
You were svelte when you were young, weren't you?
Yeah, I remember when I was, you know, in college, I was training every day and playing, and yeah, so that was what I was going to do. And I said I didn't want to go down the broadcasting route, but of course, I was in studios from the age of two. In fact, I made my first TV appearance at the age of two, and every holiday I had, I'd be there with mum and dad, and I'd just go along to the studios and I'd be sitting there with directors and producers and cameramen and sort of learnt the whole trade.
What do you enjoy more, your sport or your loviness?
that's a good question.
It's not about... I mean, I've worked across many different genres, even a little bit of news.
Sky Sports news viewers will remember you very well.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I was there from the start. Right. We launched it. Yeah,
92?
We were part of the launch 92, team.
98.
And do you know what? I always remember when we launched Sky Sports News. I mean, you know, it's turned out to be an incredible service now. But when we started, we couldn't get a dog on that show. I mean, including you two.
Well, by the way, you bloody did get me on that show.
I find that a little surprising because you were doubling up as the reporter on Animal Hospital. So if anybody could find a dog...
Yeah, you could have.
It was you, wasn't it?
Or a rabbit.
I remember we just couldn't get managers, we couldn't get, nobody wanted to have anything to do with us. And, you know, Ford Wine 25 years or so... And it's become the platform.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, television and Sky Sports News, not just Sky Sports News, but across other networks and internet now, people use the medium then as their platform. And they used to hide behind it.
Vic Wakeling's idea. Yeah. And let no one tell you different. Vic was always an advocate that it was possible to do rolling sports the same way as we do rolling news.
Yeah, because at first people were frightened and think, how are we going to fill that? And in fact, when we started, we weren't live the whole time. So there were times in the morning we would run an hour again and repeat it. Well, you know, you can't do that now.
You do what?
You know, suddenly it became it became very apparent that you didn't need to rerun things because there is news breaking in sport and certainly in football in the United Kingdom and across the world every minute of every day.
Yeah. Yes.
And therefore it was
but
a great
But the question
idea
was, did you prefer your orthodox sport or your mixing it with the Catherine Jenkins of this world, the Danny LaRue's, the Vicky Michelle's?
Listen, I love shows. I am a frustrated musical theatre performer. I love musical theatre.
Well, you like most Welshmen, you sing very well.
Yes. Well, I give it a okay. bash. Okay.
Do you see what he's not... Do you think he's the best Welshman you've ever had?
But he is very good, in fairness to him.
What's your karaoke number again? Which one's that? Country Roads?
Country Roads.
Country Roads.
It's the old favourite. That's never far away. In fact, it doesn't need to be karaoke. It can just be anywhere.
So you found an outlet for your creativity.
Yes, I did. But I love to go and watch musical theatre. I actually once hosted a musical theatre show from Cardiff. It was a big festival with Ruthie Henschel. And I was just, Ruthie Henschel is, I admire as a musical theatre performer. And and then I worked with John Barrowman. And John, I used to go and watch John Barrowman in musical theatre. And then I got to work with him and I was sort of a little bit starstruck. I suppose that's the same with sports
as well. You have worked
with
them all, though, haven't you, at one time or another?
I've worked with a few, but it's the same with sports, you know. For me, working with my heroes, I mean, here's one football hero right next to me here.
Thank you.
People I used to...
Thank you, Tidy.
But, you know, really, and I grew up watching Andy playing.
So did I.
And you, by the way, you're both lying gets.
So did I. If I had a spare Tuesday, my dad would always say to me, let's go across to Villa and watch Andy play. And I used to really look forward to that.
Keezy was 25.
So you know, in the rugby world, when I worked on the rugby for Sky, and suddenly I was sitting there with Sean Fitzpatrick and Zinzan Brook and Bob Skinstaff of South Africa, and all these players who I admired, and suddenly they're in, you know, and this is the great perk of working in our field, is that suddenly they're in your phone book.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, one minute you're looking at them and they're your heroes, and then you're like, oh, let me see what Fitzy's up to.
Yeah. You know, or Ernie Els. Do you know Ernie?
Well, funny you should mention that. I was just on the phone with him, with his very good friend.
Uh-huh. You've never mentioned that, though, in our company.
Somebody mentioned it the other day at the golf course. Who was it? Oh, was you?
I didn't mention it. Richard brought it up. But it's been...
So what do you do here, for those that don't know, that recognise the voice?
12 jobs.
You work for FIFA.
I work for Alcas. Alcas is my primary job. Alcas is the local host broadcaster here in Qatar. It's sort of almost like it's a BBC, if you like, of Qatar. And then that's my main job.
Language. That kind of level, yeah.
Yeah, the English language output for Alcas sports channels. That's the bread and butter day to day. And then
mainly football?
All football. For me, yes. And then with the FIFA magazine show we produce every month, 22 of them. We've done 16, six to go. They're available on, just type into YouTube, FIFA TV magazine. And they're very fun. 26-minute show every month.
Have you been invited on that?
Yeah.
No. I'll tell you something about me in this part of the world. Uh-huh. I identified as visible when I was born, you see. I have been identified by others here as invisible.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't really get involved in any of that.
What do we call ourselves?
Randall and Hopkins.
Is this the first time you're revealing?
Yes. Randall and Hopkins.
This is brilliant. Yeah. Oh, how wonderful. I do some work with the Spire Academy as well, which is an incredible setup there. And I mean, you know, the point of Aspire Academy is to produce athletes, football players, especially the footballers, to create a national football team that can compete at the highest level. And I think so far they've done very well. Certainly,
a decent job, isn't it?
Well, under 19s, they won the 2014 AFC in Myanmar. That was a big thing. That same squad came through to 2019, won the Asian Cup. They did very well out in America in the CONCACAF Cup last summer. Yeah, they should have beaten the USA.
Should have got it.
But isn't it a disgrace that Qatar's hosting a World Cup? Shouldn't it have been England?
Oh goodness me! Don't even start. It's vital. It's the World Cup. It has to be hosted in every, if not country, certainly region in the world. That's why it's the World Cup. And in this region, there's a great, great passion for football. And I know if you go to a local game here, they're not hugely attended. The Emir Cup final is. But if you go to, I know Iran's not in the GCC, you go to Iran or you go to Saudi Arabia for some of these AFC Champions League matches, you can't get in. You know, you're talking packed houses. There is a passion for football in the Middle East. Why shouldn't it be here? So I get a little bit, but they were like that. Do you remember what they were like that when it was going to South Africa? Oh, we can't have the World Cup in South Africa.
America.
And then it was Brazil, and that was going to all go. And then Russia, you can't go to Russia. I know that's a touchy subject right now, but what they did was put on a fantastic show and raised the bar again.
Mm. So, British media, though, are of the opinion any World Cup could only be held in England, really.
Yeah.
So they don't have to travel and...
No, but if it was, it would be a fantastic World Cup. They'd do a brilliant job.
It'd be called an England Cup, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's called a World Cup for a reason.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And I think it's important it's come to this region, and I think it certainly will open people's eyes, for sure.
How much has the region changed in the decade you've been here?
Goodness gracious me. Well, in fact, when I first got here, when you got here in 2008 as well, the very place we're sitting right now was, maybe this was built.
Yes, it was.
But there was nothing else on the Pearl.
Oh, 2008? No.
There was nothing. When I looked out of my window over there from the Ritz-Carlton,
that's,
across what became the Pearl, it was just sand, and the lorries were like ants.
Yes.
Dropping the hardcore here. There was nothing. Nothing. Doha city centre hadn't risen. The tallest building in Doha was 12 stories high.
Wow.
That was it.
At 2008.
There was nothing.
Yeah, I think 2009 when I came
out. But that's infrastructure. In terms of attitude and in terms of all the things that people concern themselves about when it comes to Qatar hosting a World Cup, how much has that changed?
Well, I think it's the visibility of the country to the rest of the world. Mm. Nobody really knew. I remember when I came out in 2008, they said, Trevor East, who we know, said to me, I've got a job for you in Qatar. And I went, yeah, brilliant, fantastic. And I thought, I couldn't say to him, where is it? That's exactly what I wanted to say. So I had to go on the internet. I was like, Qatar, where's that?
Yes.
And I think if we see what's happened in Qatar over the last 10 years, hosting international events, it's become part of the sports calendar, really.
Yeah, it
really is a sports hub, whether it's been world cycling, world gymnastics, world athletics, swimming, short and long course swimming. Everything happening, there's so much sport goes on here, then it's become visible to the rest of the world. So everybody now says, oh yeah, Qatar. Mm. So I think that's the biggest change in the way that it's portrayed now around the world.
And what about
for doing a very good job, an excellent job in hosting these events.
What about internally? Because there's been a massive shift in attitudes in that respect too, hasn't there?
I think so. You know, when people ask me, when people from the outside hear about the laws, Islamic laws, and the way that these countries operate, most of the time when they tell me what they've read, I don't really notice that much. People say to me, you can't get a drink. Well, I say, if I didn't, if I couldn't...
Well, you wouldn't be that size for a start.
Exactly. Exactly. The right point. So, and if you think about it, and sometimes we still...
Shouldn't say that, really, because that's also stereotyping. That's not nice. I apologise, Tyler. I didn't mean
I apologise on behalf of you.
Yeah, I make that official. Yeah.
But you know, sometimes we living here, we are different people. We, you know, the Arabic people and the West, the English people are different. They're different in religion, different in attitude, and sometimes we have a little bit of a shock if things aren't quite as we see them. But generally, when we look at it, step back a little bit, do we notice it much? No, we don't. We live a fantastic life. You know, you get up in the morning. What do? You go to the gym. Well, you go to work, and then you go and play golf, and then you go out to have a meal in a really nice restaurant. Mm. Or if you want to, don't have to have a nice restaurant.
I go off and go to a place called the Curry House. Really nice.
Now it's funny you should mention that.
I do. It's a lovely place.
A lovely segue.
That's another of his jobs. I think we should hold back.
Yes.
On because Tidy also used to run a chain of restaurants in Cardiff.
Yeah.
No less.
Yeah, it started off with a club called the Cameo Club, which was it's not there now. It's the
opened
Cameo Club.
By Danny LaRue.
Yeah.
No, not quite. Some other famous people did attend.
Yes. Who?
Oh, I can't remember now. So many. It was a very big media haunt.
Okay.
Yeah, Hollywood actors and things like that used to pop in. Because anybody who was, whether they were filming or television in South Wales or Cardiff, they would come to the Cameo Club. But it was a club that started...
So you have that in common. You used to own your own, the Holy City Zoo.
Holy City Zoo. The infamous. I mean, there are great stories about that.
Were there? Tell us.
No, I was there then. I was obviously training at the time, getting ready for the games.
That's very interesting. I had no idea. No.
Those businesses are fun, but they're hard work.
Yeah.
You know, there's constant issues and problems because what you're doing. And the thing is with a business like that in entertainment, when everybody else is on holiday, you're working.
It's like our job anyway. Isn't it?
Yeah,
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Everyone's on holiday at Christmas. Where are we working?
Shreezy's always said, and he's absolutely right, we party at different times. You have to.
Absolutely.
Because we work when everybody else is on holiday.
Correct.
That's just how it is.
Mm.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. I'd rather go shopping in Sainsbury's on a Monday than I would on a Saturday, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Big say no's.
Yeah, I was at Marks & Spencer's the other day on a Monday.
You weren't?
I was.
No, you weren't. You were at Marks & Spencer. There's no S. It's not plural.
Do you know what? I just popped off to Istanbul.
Yes.
You mentioned that store, Marks & Spencer. That's where I buy my pants always.
You're where?
My underpants.
Big pants?
Well, now this is a good point because...
Our guest is calling me. Make it. Seriously.
No, so I turned up. I've gone with Oksana, my wife, and I said, look, I need to get some new pants. And we've got there. And she said, They are, get these, they're lovely. I'll get them now, they're large. I went, I'm extra large. I know the size of the contents
millets
of my
for
pants.
You.
High and mighty.
No. So I bought the large.
The camping centre.
I bought the large, and here I am back into it. I'm wearing them today. They're just a little bit tight.
Snug. Well, I'm... Snug. Well,
back and front.
Yes.
I know my. I know the contents of my tights.
Yes, particularly.
Particularly the back. If his pants, if his pants go off in the next hour, they can take my eye out.
Oh, dear.
Marks and Spencer.
Marks and Spencer.
There you go. It's like Atletico. People talk about Atletico Madrid. No, right. Atletico no Madrid. There is no H in Atletico Madrid. I'm glad we can get our minds back on football. We should speak with our guest, who is the prettiest centre-back ever to have played the game. And yeah. I wish for you to join in this conversation.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say good morning to Ramon Vega. Ramon, how are you?
Very well, Richard.
It's very kind of you to join us. This is something I've been trying to achieve for 6 weeks. You had COVID. I had flu. I think you were
how
unavailable.
How did you have flu? How could you have flu? There's nobody said flu for 2 years.
I did. I told you last week I had flu.
Ted, have you known anyone have flu in 2 years?
Well, funny you should say... You've got man flu, Richard. That's what happens, you know?
Ah, now man
that's
flu.
What happened.
That's sexist.
That's sexist.
That is sexist, Ramon. I'm sorry. That's we can't sexist. Go down that line.
Guys, I had a proper flu.
You didn't...
I tell you what, mate. I was absolutely flat and bedridden. I've never seen my life something like that. It's not to wish anybody, but, you know, listen, the good thing is I'm better now, but it was good. Really like a cute 10 days.
Wow, you see, we say that very glibly, Ramon, not to wish anybody. When we say that, in the back of our mind, we are thinking, well, except for one or two. There's always one or two that you would wish it on.
Well,
listen, we always have a nasty kind of thought, always. And it's always
yes.
That.
Yes.
You know?
Now, you didn't hear my introduction, so let me repeat this. I just described you as the prettiest centre-back ever to have played the game. Would you object to that, or do you agree?
Oh, my God. Gosh, Richard, where did you put me again? You put me in trouble.
Well, no,
I mean, I have to say, Casey's got a point, Ramon.
I can only think of...
You were very pretty.
Well, there's only one that I would put ahead of
who's
you.
Who's that?
Patrick Berger.
If that's come from Andy, bloody hell, we'll have to take it seriously. Now. Yeah, I mean,
honestly, Ramon, I used to look at you and think, my God, centre-halves didn't look like that when I played against them.
Exactly.
Well, they certainly didn't look like that after you played against them.
Oh gosh!
How did you get away with it all those years?
Clever.
Listen, mate. It is. It was good. Yes, be honest. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's not much hard work when you're like that.
Well, I'm talking about how you came away still looking as good as you do. Because if I stood you alongside Steve Bruce. It's very evident that he was a centre-back, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Or Kenny Burns, something like that.
No, he was a kind of a famous Picasso-looking guy, you know?
Ramon, where do we find you today? Where are you?
I'm in Budapest. Lovely Budapest, Hungary.
Oh, fabulous city.
Is it?
Yeah,
so I'm here, actually. My wife is from Hungary. 2 years ago, when the whole pandemic started in London, because I'm still based in London for nearly over 20 years now. We moved here to Budapest, because it was better. First of all, there was not heavy lockdowns like in London and all over the place. And yeah, since then I'm here. Frankly, I have not traveled. And enjoying here. It's a beautiful city, I have to be honest.
I've got to say, 20 years in London, Ramon, you do sound like a geezer, innit?
Yeah, he does.
He's brilliant, innit?
He does, yes. He does sound like a cop.
Doesn't sound Swiss, does he?
Whatever that is.
I haven't got a Scottish accent yet, you know? Never bother, big man.
Are you Swiss Italian? Are you Swiss French? Are you Swiss German? What exactly are your origins?
German.
Yeah,
I got the Swiss German and the Swiss kind of German ugly language because that's a very ugly language, to be honest with you. But yeah, Hochdeutsch is kind of my main kind of language in Zurich. That's where I started all at Grasshopper Zurich. But my parents are Spanish, so the Spanish language is still there.
No wonder you're good looking.
With that mix.
And he wants the cheese side of it. It's a paella side, you
know? Ramon, how closely are you watching the chase for fourth place? And can your beloved Tottenham nail it, do you think?
Lisa, I'm following it very, very closely, to be honest with you. As much as you can, of course. Listen, Tottenham and I would say a very strange season for them. Very like up and down. I think very Spursy in a way as well, to be honest with you. At the same time, yes, they gained momentum last few weeks. But it's a difficult spot now. Arsenal have really come up with their points, and that's going to be, I think, a decision make a match against Arsenal. I think the Derby one will be one of the decision makers, to be honest with you, for the final one.
If you missed out, do you think that you can hang on to Conte, or is there a danger that he might be tempted to go elsewhere?
Listen, he's a moaner to start with, you know? He moans for the first day bloody came into that club, you know?
Yes, he moans.
Let's be honest, be straight about it. You know, the guy is obviously very good in his whatever ways, technical work, capacity and motivation. That's kind of, I think, one of the main thing he brings to the table, you know. But at the same time, he's a big moaner. You know, the Italians are played in Italy. They always moan if they don't get something, you know. in January market, you know, you guys know, and Andy, you know, January market is a dreadful market to do transfers. Yeah. You can't spot transfers where you maybe potentially not even had a look in the player. Maybe the guy's half injured. It's a very difficult market, you know. And what actually surprised me, when a manager goes into a club, you analyse him first of all very much what kind of team you have, or what kind of players you have from the first minute. And you know when you're coming mid-season, it's going to be a difficult one. Mm. Not much changes you can do at the end of the season. In my point, if you're a good manager, when you analyse that, he said, well, with these lot kind of players, I can do something about them. I mean, if you start to moan already, you can't get the players in January. you start to try to get excuses, let's say that way, you know? So, to come to the point of staying, going back to your question, listen, Daniel Levy, we know how he is. He's not a pushover in the same time. If Conte wants to go because obviously he doesn't get what he wants in the summer, he will leave. And I think he's indicated that in January a little bit. Even now he had a good run again, but he doesn't get that what he wants in the summer. I think he's gone.
What is it about your club that you are continually Spursy?
Spursy. Yeah.
What is it, Ramon? You were there. You were part of it.
I don't know who's called that Spursy name, but I've been hearing that everywhere, you know, Teddy Sheringham. All these guys, ex-players, I play for them, you know. But, you know, I think it's a good name, Spursy. I think Tottenham has been, we gotta look back now, I think it's myself won something with these guys about over 20 years ago.
Yeah,
the League Cup.
That's correct.
These are the guys where you guys were still right in England there doing, you know, the score and everything else, you know. I still remember that, you know. So this is 20 years. We're talking Tottenham Hotspurs, you know. And not winning anything. It's an embarrassment, you know. For us, the owner, I will be embarrassed, you know. Yes, you'll be proud of having a new stadium, new training ground. Yeah, I'm telling you that now. Sorry, but the training ground we used to have, Andy and Richard, that was an 18th century training ground. I'm not joking. I'm not joking, guys. It was an 18th century. I came from Serie A, Italy, that time. Absolutely, spot on training ground. Gym gear, everything was on there as well. I came to Spurs, goodness me, I thought, oh, this is dreadful. And on top of that, they gave me a David's Leichhardt's to go to the gym, really.
Well, that's one of the perks, signing for Tottenham. Right.
I'm surprised they didn't charge you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say that now here, but yeah. Yes, actually, you know.
Daniel doesn't miss a trick. Where there's money to be made, Daniel finds it.
Oh, yes.
You know, looking from the outside, you look at Spurs, they've had fantastic managers, they've had fantastic players over the years. Where Where is the problem? There's got to be something. I don't want to point the finger at one person in particular, but, you know, they've had the ingredients to win.
Yeah.
You knew, as a Graham Souness would tell you, that Liverpool knew the moment Tottenham travelled north of Watford.
Yes.
They were there for the taking. And unfortunately, that was true more often than not. Mm. The Glenn Hoddle was never going to have the effect on a game at Anfield that he did at White Hart Lane. And I think in some ways, Ramon, tell me if I'm wrong, that summed up Tottenham. You didn't really travel very well, did you? I still think that's a problem.
Well, not just that, but I think the overall philosophy with the club. Listen, I was there, I think, is when Alan Sugar was there. You know, Danny Levy was just coming after it. Alan Sugar was a straight talker, no nonsense, you know, in the same time. It was good operator. To be honest, with the 90s, we had some very good players now, Scott. You know, David Tuna, Klinsmann, Les Ferdinand, it's all Campbell in the back, you know.
Good players.
Darren Andrew.
Very good players.
You know, we have very decent players there. We still struggled one season. We actually, at the end of the season, we nearly went down to division, you know. But what I, and still today, even those days when I was a player, what I found within the club, when you go to other clubs, or I've been to other clubs as well, you've got that very family environment, unity, you know, from the tea lady down to the was watching your kid and everything. And the players really, that kind of environment, Spurs, is absolutely non-existing, guys. It's pretty much very clinical. It's very business-orientated. And you, as a player, you're more kind of a product than actually a human being player. So one of the elements, I think, within the club, and I see even big managers you just mentioned as well, top managers, Mourinho's, you know, all of that, even now with Conte, you know, they're struggling too with the mentality within the club. And that's one of the, I think, one of the major cancer within that club.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, very much so.
The other part, where I will look into it, you know, I'm an ex-player of Tottenham Hotspurs. And you can talk pretty much to most of the ex-players. You're not being treated as an ex-player. You actually nearly have to beg to go to the club, even get a ticket.
There you go. I said, if there's ways to make money, they'll find it.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Listen, I hardly asked a ticket once. You know, I used to even have a box stand there. Okay. Of course, I paid for it. You know? So
Daniel must have done you a deal. Daniel did you a deal.
I tried to do it. I tell you what, I tried to do a deal with Daniel. Bloody hell. Just to get £1 off him, mate. My God. But the key is, I, even from other Premier League clubs, you get way much more respected and invited. You know, and it's, I have to say, even Arsenal side point of view, you know, rivals, you know, that really, really kind of invite you, or other clubs, you know, they really make you welcome. You don't have to bet. They really make you feel you're welcome as an ex-player. At Tottenham, I'll tell you that now, is dreadful, that side.
It is a shame.
But
something
it's a shame. It is like that. And you can talk to most of the ex-players, it is absolutely dreadful, and it should have been like that, because a football club is still very camaraderie in terms of you have mates, your friends, you had a good experience. I've been 4.5 years in that club. It's not just a half a year I've passed through it. I went 4.5 years, I won the League Cup. You should at least some respect into it, you know, or treat the ex-players. And that part of Tottenham is absolutely very, very bad.
Shame.
But that shows the mentality within the club, even the employers. This is one of the things, most likely, the club really doesn't drive to that winning formula, because from the top, doesn't give that impression that you're part of a family when you work for them.
But there are professionals who deal with this these days. This is something you said there as well about not being able to get a result north of Watford. You know, there are psychologists, there are teams of people. Mm. Does that still exist? Should it exist when teams go to certain places and have a bogey team? Come on, we're past that. We're into a different era.
Not really.
Not a few Spurs.
Except for Tottenham Hotspur.
Never forget Alex Ferguson's pre-match at White Hart Lane. It's Tottenham, lads.
It's Tottenham, lads.
That was it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm telling you that now. I can even hear Alex on the side.
Listen,
I'm telling you what, I was a Tottenham player. I wasn't even moderated.
Yeah? So, Ramon, you are
Alex is talking now, yeah? We take it seriously now, yeah? You know?
Are you still making money? That's an important factor.
Oh, you better believe he is.
Listen, you have to make money. Otherwise, how the hell are you going to pay the electricity?
Well, yes, but you set up a very successful financial business when you left the football world, didn't you? Are you still involved?
Well, I had it for about a good 18 years.
That's enough.
That's more than enough. Yeah. I had enough for that part of the city, to be honest with you. I post my career, I went straight to asset management and private equity sector. It was a journey. I learned a lot because it was a different industry, very egomanic, because you're talking to London of City of Finance. Everybody knows everything but knows nothing. And everybody is in a kind of money-driven kind of place. But it was good, you know. It's very hard for a football player going from obviously playing 15 years a profession to a new industry. And I choose finance because I had also banking finance degree in Switzerland with Credit Suisse at the time.
Of course.
Now that's one of the reasons I took that direction, and it was good, you know. Running your own business is not easy, as you might know. It's not something you, every month you suddenly have a salary. You have to work hard to make that salary coming in. And then when you start to have employers and everything else, you have a huge responsibility because you're still running the business. You have to make the income so you can pay these employers, you know. And they've got families, you know. And the harder part is when the business doesn't work out properly and you haven't got the financial struggle, how are you going to tell them that you can't pay on a monthly basis or you have to pretty much reduce your forces? So you learn that, and it was new to start with.
Well, if there's one thing Ramon the Swiss know about, it's making money.
And keeping it
and hiding it
and hiding it. Yes.
listen. Yeah, Ramon, you are a diamond geezer, and it's been really good fun talking. And
thanks, Ramon.
Brilliant to catch up. Continue to enjoy life in Budapest.
I will. Listen, lovely to talk to you all three. Absolutely. Looking forward to talk to you again.
Great.
You
okay, fun. Guys? Thanks, Ramon.
Top man.
Thanks.
Thanks.
See you, buddy. Bye. Rodri Williams is still with us, affectionately known in this part of the world as Tidy. You look a tad uncomfortable. Are you okay? Pants a bit tight, or
the pants are. Yeah, going back to that. Yeah, my wife decided that I should slip into a large.
I'm extra large.
Yes,
Marks and Spencer.
By the way, we can vote for that. You are definitely extra large.
Well, just interesting. His wife suggests only large.
It's very disappointing. but there we are. We have to live with these.
We
things.
Did. Now the raconteur in you.
Yes.
The restaurant.
Lots of ers.
Yes.
Entrepreneur.
We mentioned the Curry House, the most popular Indian restaurant in Doha. Yes. If you're coming to the World Cup, make a note now.
Yes,
Curry
please
House.
Do. Yes, yeah, a lot
but
of
you're
fun.
Expanding, aren't you?
Yes, the Curry House are the first floor of the Intercontinental, the City Doha. That's the big tower right in the city centre. Aussie Hive Bar opens very soon.
Aussie Hive Bar?
Being an Aussie-themed bar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. Okay.
And then the old steakhouse that was there called Prime is now going to be called Steak and the City. And that opens
very
in
good.
May as well. So fans coming to the World Cup can come to the one-stop shop, first floor, Intercontinental Doha, the city, the Curry House,
nice.
For the best, most exciting Indian food in Qatar.
Including
live
breakfast.
Music and breakfast. And we do international breakfast and Indian breakfast.
And any entertainment for anybody who comes?
Yes, Gary Gregg, May Luna. We have those are our regulars. And yeah, it's been fantastic. In fact,
you see your regulars because we know what they do. What do they sing?
They're singers. Gary Gray was a finalist on X Factor, tremendous talent. And May, his girlfriend, actually,
she's sensational.
You both, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, she is sensational.
And I take us back to that incredible evening we had in the company of Peter Schmeichel.
Yeah, Peter, who knows his music, and he was blown away
and plays
absolutely
the guitar.
Blown
away.
Yes, he does. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So, that's a nice little...
But
nice
how are you going to run three separate outlets, for goodness sake?
Well, I have 12 jobs. I can have 15.
But it's a serious amount of work.
It is. You have to love it, and you have to get on with people and just...
Yeah, it wouldn't do for me.
No, but, yeah, but you see, we know...
It's not a rich...
No, I know. We know Teddy, and we love him. But it's almost like an adrenaline for you.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, whereas what you do and what I did, play football, was like a drug. It's like adrenaline that feeds you. I get the impression with you, when you're out with people, that's you.
Yeah, the hospitality factor, yes.
Yeah.
Trying to...
The lovey, the actor.
Yeah, that's it. I like to see people having a good time. It's a bit like my life now. If I go on holiday, I like to go with my daughter and see her enjoy her holiday. Mm. I've had great holidays when we go skiing. Oh, hang on a minute, let's not go on to that. He doesn't like skiing.
No, not really. Richard.
But I like to see my life. I get enjoyment through watching my daughter enjoy life. Mm. It's like I get enjoyment watching other people having a good time. Listen, let's not forget, I have a good time too. But
do you?
Yeah, yeah. And this year I made the Peter Reid promise. This year I'm going to try hard to have a good time.
Yeah, I get enjoyment from watching people enjoy themselves in my job, as long as I'm getting paid for it. I think there's a bit of a difference there.
Yes, yes.
Huge difference. On a complete tangent,
yes.
Have I got time to give a shout out?
Yes, we're just about to close, but I did want to read you this. But yeah, go on.
Look, I want to say a big shout out for a young sportsman, Cameron Stones. Keep an eye out for him.
Oh, yeah.
He's the grandson of the great Emlyn Hughes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and I wanted to just say he's doing so well in his cricketing career and football. He's now part of the whole Southampton setup. They're having a look at him in London, but his cricketing is quite something, and he's doing very, very well indeed, and I wish him all the best.
Make a note.
Yeah, we do.
Make a note.
Yeah, yeah. Cameron Stones, keep an eye out for that, but will he choose football or cricket? Gary and Phil Neville had the same issue. They chose football.
Steve Agrizovich did both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jim Coombs did both.
What is he best at?
That's a tough one, but at the moment, the cricket is going extremely well.
Dennis Compton did both. There's a line.
You can't do it now.
This here, Jim Fullerton is the author. It's the fans' view of watching Everton.
Oh, God.
And the headline...
I thought I was going to get away with it. I thought, an hour without a mention of Everton.
You will want me to read the headline. The headline had me chuckling for a good while.
Go on.
The headline reads, "This season is aging me. I now make Peter Reid look like Peter Pan." That tells
he's aged.
You've had a bad
he's
season.
Aged. He's aged. He's
aged. Oh, goodness. On that note, we thank Tidy, yes, Rodri Williams.
Oh, before we go, I want this out there because I don't understand this stupidity about you. Right. If something's full, right, and I say that's full, and then I say it's half full, it's half of what it was, yeah?
Yeah, right. Agreed.
How come if I say to him, "How are you?" and he goes, "Tidy."
Yeah, a Welshman will say, "Tidy, I'm
tidy.
Good. Yeah,
tidy, I'm good." But then sometimes he says to me, "Well, I'm half tidy," right? And I'll say, "Well, you're not feeling so good." He went, "No, no, that means I'm doubly better." So how can half tidy be better than tidy?
It's just the way it is.
It's nonsense.
There's no explanation.
It's nonsense.
And how are you feeling today?
Oh, half tidy.
They also often say, you see those 2 houses over there?
Yeah.
We live in the one in the middle.
yeah, that's right. Whose coat is that jacket? Hanging over my head on the floor.
There you go. Tidy or half tidy.
Thank you for your company. Yeah. Keys and Grey Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Spell it out. Keys, A-N-D. Keys and Grey Pod. Tidy68. Follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
And if you're coming to our part of the world, the Curry House is an absolute must. What do you say in Welsh for goodbye?
Hwyl fawr.
Exactly.
I was going to say that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.